Lord, we thank you right now for your word. Thank you that you will not stop speaking to us, Lord. But I pray right now, Lord, that as your word is preached tonight, Lord, through the lips of a sinful man, Lord, the lips of an imperfect man, thank you that you come and you speak to us this evening, Lord. And Lord, whatever is not of you tonight, Lord, I thank you that it will fall away, Lord. But thank you that tonight what is of you, God, will cut between bone and marrow, between soul and spirit. What is of you tonight, Lord, will accomplish that which you've set it out to do in our hearts. And we expectant, Lord, we declare our hearts to be good soil so that you can work in us, change us, shape us, Lord, make us like Jesus Christ tonight, Lord. That is our one desire, to be like you, Lord. We know we can never be you, Lord, but thank you that we are being conformed into your image day by day by your Spirit, by the Spirit of the living God. So we open our hearts, Lord, and we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for using me tonight. Father, I just say, here I am, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen to use the foolish things of this world to put to shame that which is wise, Lord. And yeah, we all are, Lord, humble, but privileged and bold to speak your word as well, Lord. And I pray, Lord, tonight, as we hear this word, Lord, I pray that we'd live it, Lord, and do it, and obey your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, let's give Jesus a hand tonight. Though we serve an amazing God, just turn to someone next to you and say, are you ready to be obedient? Who's excited to be here tonight? I know it's a little bit late. I'm going to try and get through this message as soon as I can, but I really want you to open your hearts this evening. This message is going to be challenging. Okay, so turn to someone next to you and say, are you ready for a challenge? I remember one friend of mine started a talk like this back in our other church when we were there in Brandwach, yeah, in Bloem, and we had a talk on a similar topic to what I was going to talk tonight. And so he started off like that, him and his wife. His wife was freaked out, but he started off by saying, let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. But his wife was like quite freaked out, and she didn't know he was going to do that and so on. But tonight we're going to talk about sex, okay? Who's excited? Is that why you guys are here tonight? I hope you're here for Jesus. But we're going to talk about sex, okay? But we're going to talk about it from the Word of God. Okay, we're going to talk about sexual holiness tonight, amen? Woohoo! Okay, shake someone next to you and say it's going to be fun tonight. What kind of a fun do you think it's going to be? It's going to be serious, but it's going to be... I'm trusting the Lord that He really speaks to our hearts, and I'm really excited because I know when God sets us free, the Bible says we're free, amen? You the Son sets free is free indeed, amen? So if you look at the term sexual holiness, we're talking about kingdom fitness, by the way, the second sermon in the series on kingdom fitness. Last time we talked about money. Tonight we're going to talk about sexual holiness. Do you think those two words go together? It almost looks like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Like putting sexual and holiness. That's why I just put it there, because we can talk about sexual purity and it's the same thing. But I just thought I'll call it sexual holiness, because if we look at those two words, we think, yes, do they really go together? You know, there's the holiness of life and then there's like the sexual side of life. But actually, they're supposed to go together. Amen. God created everything to be good. God created everything to be? God created everything to be good because He's a good God. Because He's a... I think you need to get excited. Tell someone next to you, God is good. And everything God created is good. Except then someone came in and destroyed God's goodness. And tonight, if I have to ask each one of you, I don't think there's going to be one person, maybe there'll be a couple, but very few people in this day and age that we live in can say with a pure heart and with an honest conscience that they've never struggled with sexual sin in their lives. Especially men. Okay, but same with women. We live in such a society where it's so sexualized. I was in Pick and Pay the other day. You know, when you look at the magazine racks, and I happened to catch the eye of a woman. She did have clothes on. Her name is Simone Nortman. Anyone know Simone? She was in Seven Alone. Now she's making movies. A real blessing. She loves the Lord. And so she's on the front cover of the Lich magazine. It's a Christian magazine, and her testimony is there. And I'm looking at her, and then another magazine catches my eye, and it's like you got to look away. You know, I can't look too long at Simone because there's other women, like, you know, speaking to me. They've got less clothes on. And I was looking at this picture, and I was thinking, it's just so ironic. Yeah, it's like this awesome Christian magazine, and kind of just next to it, there's like the other magazines that you get on the shelves these days. Wherever we go, there's the society of sex and of just less clothes on, and the closer we get to summer, you know, the less clothes people put on. But you don't have to go too far. You can be in the middle of winter, and you click on the internet, and there's just images and all of the stuff. We live in a society where there's so many teen pregnancies. There's so much. I don't even want to look at the stats because people are experimenting with sexual stuff at 12, 13 years of age these days. In fact, like, we've been told as parents, we've got to educate our kids when they're like 7 years old, when they go to primary school, because the temptations are coming. But you see, God created sex to be good, and it's sad that when we look at a title like that, we think, yes, do those words go together? And you know what I want to say tonight? They do go together. Amen. And they're supposed to go together because sex is holy. Amen. But how many of us can say here tonight that, yo, when we see this word, we've been defiled somehow, we've had bad experiences? And tonight I'm trusting for healing. Tonight I'm trusting that Jesus truly comes to heal our hearts of sexual sin in our lives. Amen. Because you're listening to someone who's had it. I'm not perfect, and I have made mistakes in my life, and I've been there. And I know one who's healed me and who saved me. And that's why I'm speaking this message tonight, because God is a good God. So what do we believe as Shofar Christian Church? I've put up the statement of faith. If you want to become a new member, please do the encounter on Thursday. And next Thursday, we're going to go through who we are as a church and who Jesus is, how great He is, first of all, and then how awesome we are as a church. We're not quite as great as Jesus, but we're part of His church. Amen. So please become a member if you're not a member. But in our membership, which we'll do next Thursday, the one thing we talk about is what we believe as a body of believers in terms of sexual behavior. And it says the following in our statement of faith. It says, with regards to sexual behavior, we believe in heterosexual relationships between a natural man and a natural woman. Not a natural man and a natural man. A natural man and a natural woman. Amen. But you know how unpopular this is in the world today? In fact, what I'm preaching tonight, if someone comes in here and hears me, I might just not have a job anymore. There's actually, y'all people know, there's some serious stuff going on to try and control the church and trying to say what the church must do and not do. And if you get caught, maybe in the future as a nation, we might be there where you preach against homosexuality, you might just find yourself in jail. But you know what? I'd rather preach the truth than compromise, amen, and make a gospel look all watered down just to please people. And so as Shofar, we believe specifically in heterosexual relationships, in other words, a man and a woman within the confines of marriage. So tonight I'm going to ask the question, what is sexual immorality? Before we talk about anything else, the question I want to ask is tonight, what is sexual immorality? Because you know what's sad in the Bible? 19 times in the New King James Version, you do a search, you type in the word sexual in the New King James Version, 19 times it will come up. And you know what the word is next to the word sexual? All 19 times is the word immorality. Whenever the New Testament talks about or uses the word sexual, obviously there's other references to sex where it doesn't use the word sexual, but it is amazing for me that all 19 times refer to sexual immorality. In other words, the Bible is trying to tell us how not to work with sex, because God knows the fallenness of man. In the ESV, there's 32 times because the New King James uses fornication a lot, and so the ESV calls fornication also part of sexual immorality. So 32 times, there's only once where it talks about sexual relations, but all other 31 times in the ESV, it talks about sexual immorality. In other words, what the Bible is trying to tell us is God is serious about sexual immorality, and he's talking about sexual immorality to us as believers. Amen. It's not to the world out there. It's to us as believers. And so sexual immorality comes from the Greek word porneia, which is spelled P-O-R-N-E-I-A, porneia, meaning whoredom, fornication, or idolatry. It's where we get the word pornography from. It is essentially a surrendering of sexual purity, and it stems from the concept of selling off. So if you want a definition of sexual immorality, it is the selling off of sexual purity. It is the selling off of your sexual purity, and guess what? It involves any. Turn to someone next to you and say, any. No, I think you must say it again. Any type of sexual expression outside the boundaries of a biblically defined marriage relationship. Any type of sexual expression outside the boundaries of a biblically defined marriage relationship. In other words, sexual immorality is losing your purity. Doesn't matter how it happens. Sometimes we just think it's adultery and fornication and all these big stuff when you're sleeping around and all of that, but it's more than that. It includes the selling off of your sexual purity. So I'm going to say a few things tonight, just three things tonight that I want you to think about how God thinks about when it comes to our sexual holiness and our lack thereof many times. And I really want you to see this tonight as freeing, because I believe Jesus wants to set us free. The truth sets us free. Amen. The first thing I want to say tonight is found here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Paul's writing to the Ephesians and he's saying, sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper for the saints. Do you know how hectic that is? It mustn't even be named among you. There shouldn't even be a hint of it. There shouldn't be a thought of it. It's like this little bit of leaven that comes in and it just destroys if you allow it. And so that's why I say, don't even entertain this. Don't even think of this as something that you can play with. So the first point I want to make here tonight, friends, and I'm doing this in love. I'm doing this because I love you so much. And I've seen the destruction of it in the church and in lives, is that sexual sin is serious. Hello? I know this is like going against the norms because is it so harsh? I'm just the messenger tonight. Okay, don't shoot me. So some common compromising reasons to continue in sexual sin. Just a couple, there's lots, but just some say these days, but it's not wrong if we love each other. You know, you hear that often being said, like it's we love each other. The Bible doesn't tell the difference between a loving and an unloving sexual relationship. All the Bible talks about is whether you're married or whether you're not. Second thing that some people say is times have changed, and what was wrong in biblical times is just no longer considered sin. Does God change? What about other sin? We will call other sin sin, but when it comes to sexual sin, we'll start to compromise. Why? Because it's so nice. So sinful and so nice. And then third one, we're married in God's eyes. It's like you're not really married, but yeah, the God is out there so, and he's saying, no, it's okay. We change God's views to suit us. Or then lastly, I can still have a good relationship with God because He understands. We have this loving God that so understands and He just wants to keep us in our sin. Eh? What a loving God is that? See, God's commands are clear and we cannot love Him if we don't obey. And He's not going to compromise His word. Sexual sin is serious. Let's look at what Paul writes to the Corinthians. Paul is finding out that there's the sexual sin in the Corinthian church. And guys, I'm telling you tonight, he's writing to charismatic believers just like us. This is not like unbelievers or any, it's traditional people. He's writing to a charismatic church that operated in the gift just like what happened tonight. And it's awesome. The Holy Spirit wants to move. That's who we are. We love the gifts of the Spirit. We are a spiritual church. But he's writing to the spiritual church and he said, you know what? I've heard that there's sexual immorality such that he's not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. Okay, it's not that serious. It's the stepmother. Okay, it's not his mother. Looks like it's his mother, but it's his stepmother. But even so, imagine that. So Paul finds out there's this guy that's sleeping with his stepmother. And he's saying, listen here, guys, I think you don't understand something here. I don't think sexual sin is so serious in your eyes, because if this is allowed, I've got to come in and I'm coming with the love of Christ. So what happens if Paul has to find out in our church that there's sexual sin? What is he going to do? Oh, times have changed. Oh, sure, you guys are in the 21st century. Yeah. I think Paul is going to say the same thing, and I think Jesus would say the same thing, because it's his word. And so if you read the rest of that chapter, you'll see that he goes on and he says, look, there's this leaven. You need to root out this leaven. It's leaven in your church, and you need to get it out. And then at the end of it, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but at the end of it, he says the following. He says, now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother or a sister who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater, reviler, drunkard, etc., etc. Not even to eat with such a person. Hectic. Now, obviously, Paul is not saying as soon as a guy's found out, then you just kick him out. No, he's talking about someone who's unrepentant, someone who's continuing sin, and saying it's not so serious. This sin is not, it's okay. He's not talking about someone that's repentant, someone that's working through stuff, and so tonight there's no condemnation. But there is the seriousness that Paul is saying sexual sin is serious. And if there's someone who's found out, who's a believer and supposed to know better, and they don't repent, they don't get over their ways, you've got to put this person out. Amen. So that why? Their soul can be saved. They can ultimately go to heaven and not hell, because if they continue in this, they're going to go to hell. And they can say they did a lot of things. They can say they knew Jesus, and it's terrible in the church today. People saying they know Jesus, but yet they're still compromising on sexual sin. And the Lord will say, just like He did in Matthew chapter 7, but I never knew you. But Lord, I did all these things. Lord, Lord, but I didn't know you. And I believe it refers to this. You didn't know my ways. You didn't walk in my ways. You didn't really honor the relationship and the word that I spoke to you. Why? Because it's for your good. I want to rescue you from the hold of the devil. So number one, sexual sin is serious. Amen. Sexual sin is serious. And I want to say to you guys, and I'm saying to myself, if we don't see sexual sin as serious, we're going to struggle to get over it. Amen. I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in others' lives. If it doesn't get dealt with and it doesn't get seen as truly serious, it's very difficult to get over it. You're going to continue to compromise. And we look at the consequences now of not doing that. Mark chapter 7, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, and a lot of other things. All these things come from within, and they defile a person. Sexual immorality is the one thing that defiles us because it comes from a sinful nature. It comes from our hearts. And guess what? It's not our fault. We didn't choose to be born in sin. We just were born in sin. But guess what, guys? Jesus has made a plan. It's the only plan. Isn't that amazing? We have a sinful nature. And so sexual sin comes from our hearts and it defiles us. And it looks pleasing. Let's be honest. Sin is nice. Because we're sinners. It's nice to sin if you're a sinner because you're feeding the flesh. You're feeding what's natural for you. I mean, can you believe some people think like, you know, even homosexuality can be nice. Even like having sex with animals can be nice because that's also what the Bible says. Don't do it. But that's how terrible sin is. It looks nice for sinners. Because we're so twisted. We're so off the track sometimes. And it starts as looking pleasing, but God says in His Word, it defiles. Listen to this. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. And yeah, Paul is saying, he's serious about sexual sin. He's saying, listen here guys, sin is serious. And sometimes we say, yo, all sin is sin. And yes, sin is sin. But yeah, Paul is saying, sexual sin is a little bit different. All the other sins are outside your body. But sexual sin is committed against your own body. You're sinning against your own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And that's why, guys, and I've been there, I'm telling you from experience, when you sin like that, when you fall, you know what happens? You feel terrible. And there's this war inside of you because you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you love it. You go on sleeping around. It's amazing, you know. For the people in the world out there. And in a way, they're excused until they come to Jesus. But when you've come to Jesus and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what? You start to make those mistakes and you just feel so terrible. It's like, and I'll be honest, I've struggled with porn at times in my life. And it's like when you click that button, and I'm being real honest with you guys tonight, so forgive me, but I'm just a man saved by grace. And you click on that button. You know what I feel in my heart? I've really had it. Like I felt my heart beating. Why? Because I'm Spirit-filled. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. And I felt like there's this war inside of me. Don't do that. And the flesh is like, yes, do it. You know, and like the Spirit is like, no. There's this beating of your heart. And you know, when you fall, you're like, oh, God. Why? But when you realize the seriousness of your run to Jesus, Jesus, deliver me. I hate this stuff. Because it defiles and you feel it. See, pagan idol worship often involved perverse and immoral sexual acts performed in the temple of a false god. Paul is writing and he says, it's like in the old days when they used to worship these false gods. You know what they did in the temple? They had all these orgies and sexual stuff and it was terrible, defiling this temple. And when we use our physical bodies for immoral purposes, we are imitating pagan worship by profaning God's holy temple with acts that He calls detestable. And I'm not talking here about sleeping around with a physical woman. I'm talking about any acts, even virtual sexual experiences. We're going into places that the devil loves. It's his playground. Sexual sin defiles, guys. Not only is it serious, but we must understand it defiles the temple of the Holy Spirit. Anyone here, temple of the Holy Spirit? Come, put up your hands. I want you to be serious now. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So say, temple, I'm going to protect you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place, okay? Not going to defile the temple. And then lastly, sexual sin leads to death. Same chapter, Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, those who have sex before marriage. Idolaters, that's any worship, but sexual sin is also idolatry. It's a form of idolatry, even worshiping yourself. Adulterers, that's being married and having sex with someone else within marriage who's not your partner. Homosexuals and sodomites, so female homosexuals and male homosexuals. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, all the rest will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's as clear as daylight, guys. Sexually immoral people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm not the judge here tonight, but I know that there's going to be fun and games at the judgment day. Amen? Because we think we're fine with God. And Jesus is serious. Paul is serious. The whole New Testament is serious about sexual sin. It's going to lead to death. And it starts with spiritual death. Sexual sin, guys, kills our authority that we have in Christ. It kills our intimacy with Him. It kills just a relationship with God. Amen. It defiles us. It does that. It leads us to a spiritual death. We're rendered ineffective. You don't believe me? I want to read you a story in Proverbs chapter 7. It's not on the screen there, so go with me if you've got your Bibles with. But it's an amazing story. It's in Proverbs chapter 7. I want to go through this just quickly. I want to read it as a story here because it just changed my life. In fact, it caused me to preach the sermon. You know, when you read the Bible, then God speaks. And so I'm reading through Proverbs and I see the writer's talking a lot about wisdom and about the fear of God and having knowledge and understanding, which all stems from the fear of God. And then it starts to go into the sexual immorality thing, like boom, in the middle of this wisdom. Isn't that amazing? Wisdom, sexual immorality, and wisdom again. Listen to this. I'm just going to read from the New King James, but Proverbs 7, he starts off and he says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words." Now, the writer starts, and he starts this incredible story, and he says, "For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and here he sees this young man walking along this path." Picture the story now. You can get all dramatic here and have the music and the drums, you know. So this guy is looking at this thing playing out in front of him here, and he says, I saw this simple. I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding." Because he's talking about wisdom and understanding. He says, "I see this man, this young man devoid of understanding." And guys, I want you to think of yourselves, especially the guys here. I want you to think of yourselves as in this place. Because it could be you. You're not devoid of, I mean, you're not far from it. It could easily be you. And I perceived, and he was passing along the street near her corner. Who's this her? And he took the path to her house, and in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, there's like this incredible setting here. And there, a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. You see, this woman doesn't speak in a still small voice because there's one still small voice that we should listen to. But this is not a still small voice. This is a loud voice speaking very loudly. Say, "Come, come, come. You need me." And at times she was outside and at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. Isn't that amazing? This woman is lurking at every corner. She hasn't died. She's still alive, very much alive on the internet, very much alive all over the place. In the society that we live in, saying, "Come, you need me." And so she caught him and she kissed him. Remember, this young man's probably at a vulnerable place in his life. He's probably a bit stressed and life is tough, and so he's not at a good place, and so someone knows exactly where he is and how he, and you just need this. You need this now. And then she says with an impudent face, she said to him, "I have peace offerings with me. I know you need peace now. Your life is a bit stormy. Your life is going through hectic times, and you know what? I've got peace offerings for you. I can satisfy you just for a moment. I can give you peace. Today I've paid my vow, so I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face." Very clever, very sly, not Not random, very planned. And I found you, and I've spread my bed with tapestry. It gets interesting. The Bible is awesome. Colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love. Love, love, love. All you need is love. The world needs love. Eh? It's great that we're talking about love at conversions. We're talking about what real love is. But yeah, he says, come. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. And it gets even worse. I'm actually married. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and he'll come home on the appointed day. And he has this man at a vulnerable place. Being seduced, being pulled in by the forces that are so great for him to handle. And with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And isn't that what sexual immorality is? It's just a slight pulling in. It's so powerful, but it's just subtle. And you have to make that choice sometimes. Just like this man had to make a choice. And it was a physical woman, but many times, and I'm not talking only about physical, I'm talking about the internet, I'm talking about any other temptation. Yes, a choice you have to make. And with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield, seduced him, and immediately he went after her, listen to this, as an ox goes to the slaughter. When I read this, I was just so challenged. I realized this is exactly what happens. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver and a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know that it would cost his life. See, the Word of God is powerful, amen. The Word of God tells us, warns us, and tells us this, don't play games with the harlot. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. And all who were slain by her were strong men, not weak men. Strong men, strong in the faith many times. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Sexual sin, guys. According to Proverbs, leads to death. Sexual sin number one is very serious. Sexual sin number two defiles us, but it leads to death. And it's a process that if we don't stop it, it just gets better and bigger and bigger and worse and worse. So we need to get understanding. Why? Because there's an agenda to destroy. The devil doesn't just tackle high. He's not just a dirty player like in rugby. He wants to take us out. There's a diligence to seek out men and to pull them in and destroy lives through seduction, through luring, through enticing, and it's all around us. I heard a story this week of on our pastor's group, someone sent a story of a church in Cape Town where a youth leader was found taking pictures of himself in women's clothing and sending it to all the youth in the church and in luring them into sending pictures of themselves as well. And eventually this guy got caught and the hawks are on them and the people from America are on them. And it's like this guy's obviously been suspended from church, but it's a criminal case. A youth leader. And he was, a couple of years ago, he was taken through tests and everything, and they said, no, he's fine. Because there was maybe suspecting stuff that he wasn't quite cool or kosher. But everything said, no, he's fine. So it's in the church. I'm not talking about the world out there. The world is like sinners sin. That's what they do. But it's in the church. There's an agenda to destroy our lives. And this thing is strong, guys. It's all around us. Just like money. this thing. God wants to get rid of it and deal with it in our lives. But the good news today is God gives us some tips. And they're not tips. They're just some principles that God wants us to abide by. Number one. Okay, so you're saying, Alistair, I hear you. This is serious. This is hectic. Help me. What must I do to cut it off, to stop it? Number one. Three times in the book of Song of Solomon. Now, read Song of Solomon when you're like on your honeymoon. It's a great book for married couples. So obviously, you can read it anytime, but there's some good stuff in there, okay, about sex and so on, okay. But it says here specifically three times, and yeah, in the last one, verse 4 of chapter 8 says, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases." The message says, "Oh, let me warn you, sisters of Jerusalem. Oh, let me warn you. Don't excite love. Don't stir it up until the time is ripe and you are ready." You know exactly when you're stirring up erotic love. Hello? Is there anyone here that doesn't know when you're stirring up love? I don't think so. It doesn't give us too much instructions as to how do you know when you're stirring up love. You just know. Hello? Come, you're listening almost so heilig nie, okay? You know. Things start to happen in your body. When it becomes like it's a friendship and it's all nice and then it goes over to this, now I've got to make a decision. Kom, julle studente, okay, you should be enjoying this, okay. Trying to make it fun as well, because I know it's serious, but it's, guys, do not get into the wrong relationship at the wrong time. Amen. If you're in a relationship at the moment and it's not leading to marriage or to a commitment, walk away, get away. Give the bat, girls. The girls sometimes help the guys, you know, because they've got an agenda and they go, "Hey, I want to stay pure." Boom. Or the big cow shot, you know, like. Nathan's learning to play cricket now. I tell you, he's got awesome skills, yes, and he just hits the ball. So we need to give a big six, ladies, and guys sometimes as well. Sometimes you need to put the block in to care for your wickets, you know, like. But I'm serious. The Bible says, stir up love only when it's right. Do not stir it up until the time is right. And ladies, I just want to speak to you ladies for a while, okay? Guys, we have enough challenges. We're seeing it all the time. So ladies, you know what helps to not stir up stuff in guys? It's just to dress properly, amen? Just cover up what needs to cover up. Be covered up, okay? Especially in the summer. And I know in the summer it's like, we're so hot, but you still got to wear clothes, okay? I know it gets 40 in Bloemfontein, and in other places even more, but like, let's not put the heat on too much, okay? Just cover up. There's enough heat from the sun and stuff, so don't let guys start to heat up either. So ladies, please, help the guys by just covering up what needs to be covered up and dress appropriately, amen? Because that's what it's also saying. Don't stir up love. Don't be seductive and be all luring. Because then you're just as sinful as the guy who's falling. So don't get into a relationship. And I just want to share my and Hester's story. We both came from a background where we had made mistakes sexually, and we decided, you know what, we're not, and we knew we were right for each other, and we decided we are not going to kiss until our wedding day. Okay. And I know it's difficult and it's like, whoa, and it's not for everyone. I'm just sharing our story. We decided when we start to kiss, kissing leads to one thing and the next thing. And if you can stop it, great. Well done. If you've got the discipline to stop. But if you start really kissing, you know, tongue inside, lang, tongue ni long kind of thing. Any under 18s here? Wesley looks so young. Sorry, you're almost there, Wes. 17 and, yeah. Married very young. When you start a kiss like that, you know what? Things happen. And to stop that is very difficult because it's not supposed to be stopped. It's supposed to be consummated in an intimate sexual marriage relationship. Amen? And it's amazing. But it's not amazing when you're not married and you're a believer because you know you're treading on the devil's territory. So in a relationship, guys, don't stir up love. Those of you in a relationship and you're godly and you know it's going to lead to something, then keep the boundaries. Amen. If you know you're going to get married in 5 years' time, you know what? You're going to rather be friends then. But if you're too close and you're seeing each other often and it's getting intense, you're going to have to put physical boundaries in place. And so we decided we're not going to kiss. And it was a blessing. It was difficult. But I just knew I want to protect my wedding day. I want to protect our intimacy. And it was a blessing. Don't stir it up. Number one. Number two. You have heard that it was said, Jesus is speaking and he said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Guys, it's a massive challenge. Because we see the woman. We see them. And especially when you're single, you're looking for a woman, you think, yes, wouldn't it be nice? And you start imagining stuff. Then he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. You need to take radical steps. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Literally, if you have to cut off your hand or your eye, then do it. That's how precious this thing is. Your body is not so precious, but it's your relationship with God is precious. And to commit adultery is terrible. To look at a woman with lust is terrible. I remember back in Stellenbosch, we had this thing of like, in Stellenbosch, there's a lot of mountains. And so we used to say, you know, we've got to like look up at the mountains. Where does my help come from? Otherwise, we might see other mountains, you know, especially in summer, okay? Because there's mountains popping out all over the place because women don't cover up and so on. So we had to look up to the big mountains, not the other mountains. Because your eyes look, right? Come on, this means so. So look up to the Lord and ask God, God, let me check where my eyes are looking. But take radical steps. And sometimes you need to spend less time just walking around campus. I had a doctor friend of mine a couple of years ago. He was here on campus. He was a doctor specializing and he just said he can't go to the medical cafeteria, especially in summer. Because there's just so many beautiful girls. And he was married and everything. And he just said, no, meet me somewhere else. Like, what? And so for everyone, it's different. For some people, you just mustn't position yourself where there's temptation. Okay? And I know if you're on campus, it's a bit difficult because you need to be there. The point is, do whatever it takes to get out of a place of temptation. Take radical steps. Throw away your phone. Throw away your PC or tablet, whatever if you have to. Put software to block that porn. Whatever. Put the stuff on, take radical action, and be accountable, guys. Amen. And then the last thing, you've got to make like Forrest Gump. Remember Forrest Gump? Okay, it's an old movie, some of you. What did he do? Does what I like to do. Just need to run. And sometimes you need to find that door and you go, not now, okay, but you need to see a door and you need to run through that door and you just keep on running, okay? Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. You need to run from lustful stuff, amen? I had terrible advice from a guy once. He did a men's breakfast at Stellenbosch. Pastor Fred never got him back again. He was a business guy, a successful guy, but he said this one thing that was like, he said, you know, guys, and it was just guys, he said, sometimes you're like, you know, you see a woman and it's good to like run away and walk away. He kind of knew that, but he said, you know, just take a good look and then run away. It's like, yo. So it was like, you know, when you have that glance and then and he said, instead of just turning, but just have a good look and then run away. It's like, what? Worst advice, because you know what? That second good look leads to another, leads to thoughts, and then you haven't run away. You've compromised. I want the band to come forward this evening. We're gonna pray now. So you need to not store up love until the time is right. That's a good step. Secondly, you need to take radical action. If you know there's a place that you're falling, and you know there's a temptation, there's a cycle that always happens when you get tempted and you fall, you must take steps, stop that thing. And then lastly, you must run away. And this is the thing, guys, we're all going to have to do. And it doesn't talk about running, it just talks about training your eyes and training your mind to look away and to not entertain thoughts. The good news this evening for all of us is that we serve a God who has made a plan for every single sin. And I don't want you to feel condemned yet tonight. I know this is very challenging, especially for you guys and who are not married and who are looking for the right partner and who are waiting and waiting, and it's a struggle because the temptations are there and it's thoughts and it's all the stuff. I understand. I've been there. I was only married at 30. I had to wrestle with this for a while. And let me tell you guys, marriage does not solve the problem. If you're struggling with lust before you're going to marry, I tell you, you've got to sort it out before you get married. It's going to come and haunt you, and then you feel even worse because then you're like married and you're like, oh. But I want to say tonight, there's a God who has made a plan for every single sin. He was tempted in every way, the Bible says, yet without sin. Jesus Christ was tempted in exactly the same way that we as guys are tempted. Yet he didn't sin. And Jesus said to the woman who was caught in adultery, he said to her, neither do I condemn, I do not condemn you. But he didn't stop there. He just said to her, go and sin no more. Amen. And sometimes we use that verse and we're like, yes, but Jesus never condemned. There's so much grace, and there is grace. But you know what the grace is? The grace is to empower us to go and sin no more. He does condemn, he doesn't condemn us, and he does forgive us, but he says, stop. Why? Because of what I've just said. Sexual sin is serious. Sexual sin defiles us. Sexual sin leads to death. And it kills our relationship with God. So I want you to close your eyes right now. And I actually want all of us this evening to stand. I want us to stand in the presence of a holy God. And I know this is serious tonight. I know this is digging deep and it's cutting to the heart. And that's exactly what God wants. God wants us to deal with this. Amen. Wants us to look at this seriously. Because I know the church is full of it. And we don't speak about it. We don't talk about it. We're not accountable. We just say, yeah, we love Jesus and we go on. And Jesus is not pleased. Jesus wants us to be free. He knows what's happening in the dark and he doesn't want us to stay in the dark. But he's got incredible grace for you tonight. He's got incredible deliverance and healing for you tonight. So I want you to close your eyes tonight and I want you to be really honest with the Lord. And I want you, if you're struggling with this tonight, if you need Jesus to truly come and do something amazing in your heart, if you need him to heal you from brokenness, if you realize you need to repent of sin, you need to be serious about this. You're not so serious about this. You want to stop this thing at the root by saying, Lord, I recognize that it's serious. I need you, Jesus. I cry out to you tonight for help. Then I want you to be honest tonight. I want you to raise your hand to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me with this thing. And I know it's a bold step. I don't want to shame you tonight, but I want Jesus to come and help you tonight. I want him to deliver you, to heal you of it. So if there's someone who's really honest here tonight, I know it's going to take a massive step, and I don't want you to be ashamed because all of us have been there, okay? Some of us have got testimonies of deliverance. Some of us, you just need a testimony. You need Jesus to heal you and deliver you. I want to pray for you tonight. And there's some men who can pray, some men who've got testimonies of same thing. So we're not ashamed in the house of God tonight, but I want you to be honest. Tonight is your opportunity to bring it to the light. And this is not the first time. This is just the start. It's not the only time. You're going to have to bring it into the light with someone. Not every week in church, but tonight. Jesus is speaking seriously. So if that's you tonight, I want you to be really honest. Say, Jesus, I need you. need your deliverance. I need your healing. I want to pray with someone tonight and confess that I need salvation from this thing. There's an honest, I want to thank you for your boldness tonight. Is there anyone else? God is speaking to you tonight. Ladies, same with you. You've been hurt sexually, or you realize this thing is like, it's a stronghold in your life. I'm going to ask a very bold step for those who have raised their hands. And some people, you haven't raised your hands, but you need to be honest tonight and join these people. I want you to come stand in the front. I want Wesley, if you can come forward. And Yopi, if you're still the married guys. There's a couple of married guys here and a couple of the leaders who can pray with people here tonight. I want you to come forward if you need prayer in this area. This is a very vulnerable moment. So I don't want you to look around tonight. If you are not responding tonight, I want you to pray for people that are responding, because this is their moment. Tonight is their moment of choice to step out from it. So I'm just going to give you time. I know this is like hard, but I want you to do it because it's hard, because you need to step away from stuff it's going to be a challenge to keep walking in it until you're free. Freedom doesn't just happen. Jesus delivers us, but he also takes us along a journey because he loves us. Doesn't do a quick fix. He does relationship. Amen. So can I have some ladies and some men? You feel you can pray for people. Yeah, you feel you've got a testimony. Then don't be a hypocrite. If you're struggling with it and you want to pray for people, just pray tonight for people. Very specifically, yeah. There's some ladies, yeah. Ingrid, you can also, you can work for it and to call. All the married people, yeah. If you feel God is calling you to pray, then please just come. And other student leaders, if you are. Thank you, Jesus. There's some guys here tonight. I know this is a battle in your heart. But tonight is your night. I'm serious now. Tonight is the night of a testimony. Start of a testimony. So I want you to be honest. Don't let that pride stand in the way. Thank you, Jesus, for your deliverance tonight. Thank you, Lord. I want to say with excitement in my heart, there's no condemnation for all of you that have responded. I want to honor you. I want to honor you so much. I want to honor you for your boldness. Let's just pray. You guys can just continue to worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom tonight, Jesus. Can we have some guys? Murray, you could also pray for Jokia. Just some more guys just ready to pray. If there's more guys, please just respond, guys. Even if it's the 10th time you're responding to this and you feel like, I haven't got over this. You know what? I believe Jesus is so strong. He's so strong. He's so strong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom in the house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's no hold, Lord. No hold, no condemnation, no shame. There's freedom here tonight, Lord Jesus. Freedom here tonight. But it's important that you repent. Those who have responded tonight, it's important that you repent of that sin. You need to hate that sin. You need to say, you know what? This is very serious. I hate this sin. I don't hate myself. I love myself, and therefore I hate the sin, because this is defiling my body, defiling the temple. Just worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to worship now, so I'm not going to rush this because the Holy Spirit really had to do an awesome work in all our lives. But if you really have to go, you're really welcome to go. You can have some coffee and fellowship afterwards. But let's just continue in this place of holiness. I really really believe God wants His holiness to wash over us tonight. Amen. And then I want to pray for couples tonight. If you're in a relationship, I just want to pray for you. I feel the sense to anoint you and to protect you from any impurity and any stealing that the devil has. So if you're in a relationship here, then I'd love to pray for couples. If you would like to pray, be prayed for tonight, but I really want to pray whether you're engaged or married or not married, I mean more in a just a relationship, students, then I would really love to pray for relationships here, just for protection over both of you, because it is a time when temptation can come. Amen. So if you are in a relationship, you'd love to be prayed for, you and your partner come, or even if you're on your own and you're not, your partner's not yet, it's fine, but the rest of you are free to go. But let's continue, Yaku, if you guys can just continue with the song. Let's just let the holiness of God just wash over us, because it's not in our own strength, guys, that we're going to overcome this. It's just because of God's holiness and His awe and His wonder. And when we see Him, you know, everything else just becomes so strangely dim. Amen. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life doesn't have an impact on us anymore as we see God's goodness and His holiness and His perfection. So God bless you guys. Thanks so much for coming tonight. But if you want to stay, let's just allow the Lord to really wash us clean. In Jesus' name.